And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch. And of course, this is the last Friday of May. And Joe Barner's in with me. And
yeah.
Joe, how you doing this morning?
Where did the rest of the month go?
I think it's
in the history book.
It's in the history book. It just went right on by.
Funny the way it does that.
Oh, man, I tell you. But we got a brand new month that is going to start Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday. Sunday will be June 1st.
And, of course, we start thinking about summertime, the summer hot weather on the way. Of course, I think what the official day of summer is what, like the 20th or something?
20th 21st? Or 21st of June.
Yeah, something like that. So we got a few more days of spring.
Yeah, but that brings a good thought to mind as we approach summer. Don't forget Missionary Radio if you're out on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget the Missionary Radio's needs continue.
That's right.
And you get to be a part of God providing for those. So we appreciate
right.
so much if you remember us in the summertime, give a generous gift at missionary.radio or through mm-hmm. the mail to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
and I'm speaking not on behalf just of those of us who earn a living here,
yeah.
but folks who listen every day.
Oh, yeah.
Said, oh, we don't know where we'd be without Missionary Radio.
I know I was had an opportunity yesterday morning after I got done here and went and seen a few people for our silent auction that's coming up. And one of them was one of our local businesses here. And I walked in, and the woman looked at me, and she said, aren't you Brian Sidebottom? I said, I am Brian Sidebottom. She said, I listen to you on Missionary Radio.
Oh, well, great.
I thanked her. I said, thank you so much for listening to us and, you know, being a part of what we do there at Missionary Radio. So,
well, this morning we're going to talk about the second coming of Jesus.
Amen.
From 2 Peter chapter 3, and hopefully we'll, along with Peter, with Peter's help, silence the naysayers that say he's not coming back. Well, they haven't seen Bing Verbis truck.
That's right.
Jesus is coming back.
Jesus is coming back. And that's good news.
That's where we'll go this morning.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3.
I am Brother Mark Vaughn, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, used Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Welcome back to the front porch.
Well, you know, Brian, we spend a lot of time waiting for things to happen, sometimes good things and sometimes bad.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of some bad things, we've spent way too much time waiting for bad storms to hit.
True.
Hunkered down in our safe spaces. In our house, that's a hallway in the center of the house.
Mm-hmm.
For others, it's a basement. And some friends of ours have invested in building a storm shelter. Maybe that's not a bad idea since the tornado alley seems to have shifted to include
mm-hmm.
Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah.
And it's every week or two, it seems.
Yeah.
But maybe there are some good things we are waiting for as well. Anything come to mind, some good things we're waiting for?
We're waiting for Jesus' return.
You'd cut right to the chase.
Yeah, right to it.
I was walking, I think it was last Thursday, and Christian County was still had school in.
Yeah.
And as I was walking, I heard the bus coming up behind me, and I walked past this little boy, and I said, they're coming to get you. They're coming to get you. He kind of looked at me like, what?
What? What are you saying?
I said, how much school you got left? And he said, oh, I'm just in fourth grade. I'm going to college.
Boy, he's got big plans after
Was waiting
for
college. He wasn't really, when I was his age, I was looking at the end of the school year, man. Yeah, we're going to be out for the summer. We get to play all day.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was waiting for. Somebody asked me one day, Joe said, what was your favorite part of school? I said recess and lunch. And my two favorite times.
And getting out for the summer.
Yeah, getting out for summer.
For some of our students, they've been waiting for graduation. And you always can ask the question, well, what next?
Yeah, what's next?
Maybe for some, it could be retirement.
True.
Could be the birth, they're waiting for the birth of a child or a grandchild, or even a vacation.
Yeah.
For sports fans, you're waiting for the next season with the hope it will be a better year for whoever you're rooting for. Our lesson writer noted that waiting builds anticipation. It can also motivate and give us time to make preparations. And that's true of the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ for his church, as Brian reminded us. Jesus said he was coming back.
He's coming back.
But he didn't say when.
That's right.
And to be honest, I thought most of my life that Christ would return during my lifetime.
Sure. I think that's something we all think.
Yeah.
But like you just mentioned, we don't know when he's coming back. These people, that would get up and say, hey, Jesus is coming back on a certain date. Let me tell you something. Do not listen to them because they do not know.
Yeah, because Jesus said no one knows.
But I can tell you one thing.
But the Father.
I can tell you one thing.
Okay.
It is getting closer.
It's getting closer. Well, I've had that sense that most of my life that Christ would return during my lifetime, and that's still a good possibility.
Never know.
I'm still a young man, just 66.
That's right. That's right.
But with more and more biblical prophecy being fulfilled year after year, and with the signs of the times are everywhere.
Yes.
But as I get older, I'm beginning to admit it's all in God's timing.
That's right.
And it very well could be that the Lord may not come back before I pass from this life. But actually, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter was warning the church about false teachers and scoffers using that seeming delay, put seeming delay in quotes, to cast doubt on Christ's promise to return. They were saying, well, it hadn't happened yet. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump into the text to see what Peter had to say about that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.
There goes Peter stirring things up again.
Mm-hmm. Stirring the pot.
But, if you're dealing with coffee, something like that, and you're putting anything into it,
yes.
Stir it up.
Stir
it
up. It
tastes a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah.
But in the midst and the struggles and uncertainty of life, we should not lose sight of the return of Christ. So Peter's saying, I want to stir you up and remind you of that so you don't forget. We should live to some extent with the realization that it might be today.
Yeah.
Now, how does that mindset affect the way that we live? If we have the mindset, could be today. Well, several ways that occur to me. Not only does living in the light of Christ's return help us to live pure and God-honoring lives, since we don't want him to return and find us living sinful lifestyles.
That's right.
So it goes to the way we live our lives. And it also adds a sense of urgency to our efforts to tell others about the salvation and forgiveness and the joy that we've experienced so that they can turn to him as Savior before it's too late. And knowing that Christ will return one day can also give comfort when life gets hard.
Yes.
For instance, when we lose someone we love in death who knows Christ, we know that we'll meet them again soon in heaven or in the air when Jesus returns.
Amen.
And if Jesus returns during our lifetime, that soon is sooner.
That's right.
We also know that when Christ returns, he'll make right all that is wrong in this life, that the injustices of life will be taken care of. Mm-hmm. When he returns, those who have followed him will be rewarded, while the wicked will be punished.
That's right.
Peter's purpose, stated in verse 1, was to stimulate his readers to wholesome thinking and wholesome living. To counter the arguments of the scoffers, Peter pointed them and us to two sources. He pointed us to the prophecies of the Old Testament. You know, there are many prophecies that pointed to Christ's first coming, all scattered throughout the Old Testament, and every one of those was fulfilled with his first coming that pointed to that. But there were also prophecies of his second coming. For instance, the last half of the book of Daniel, after the story parts in the first six chapters of Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and with the debate over what we're going to eat. And they ate from the Daniel diet. But the last six chapters of Daniel deal with the second coming of the Messiah. Kind of like Revelation in the Old Testament. And the second source that Peter pointed to about Christ's second coming, according to verse 2, were the words of Jesus himself as recorded by the apostles in the gospel accounts. And we're to remember those reliable sources when we encounter those who are scoffing, saying something like, well, since it's been 2,000 years since Jesus promised that, It's not going to happen. Jesus is not coming back. Well, let's refresh our minds to their argument again in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4.
Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.
Now, the scoffers, what is their argument?
That
at this point, it would be, it's been several thousand
years since
Jesus promised to come back. Some would point it out, though, that after all, mankind waited 4,000 years for the first coming of the Messiah.
Yes.
What are a few thousand years?
No, what's a few thousand years to the Lord?
And Peter also gives the underlying reason for their scoffing in verse 3. It's so that they can follow their own evil desires. They don't want to be concerned with being accountable to the possibility of being called on the carpet when Jesus returns. They want to do what they want to do, to live however they want to live. And so they either live like Jesus is not coming back, or they just come right out and say, it's not coming back. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Their argument is that life goes on as it always has. And folks have been saying so long that Jesus is coming back soon, and he hasn't yet. So they conclude, well, he's not just not coming back at all. And they may say Jesus is not going to do what he promised to do, return for his church. Well, Peter has an answer for them. We'll look at that answer after Pen from the Heart, in verses 5 through 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3, here on Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth.
It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, I love all the radio station is doing. It blesses me daily. From Hopkinsville, I'm thankful for Missionary Radio, solid biblical programming and music. It's such a blessing. I pray that many will be encouraged by listening and grow in the Lord Jesus. Also from Clarksville, you all do a good job. And from Katy's, I thank you, Missionary Radio, for all you do.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Well, we're looking at the second coming of Christ and the scoffers. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter has an answer for them, verses 5 through 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3.
For this they will willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are not preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
So here was what I believe Peter was saying to them. Don't forget it was God who started everything with creation, mm-hmm. and he sustains it yep. in an orderly fashion. But also don't forget that God's intervened in history in the past when mm-hmm. the great flood came.
Flooding, yeah.
I believe Peter was recalling what Jesus had said about the similarities between the coming of the flood and the second coming of himself, the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 24, 36 through 44.
But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time or of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house been broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
So what was Jesus saying about the general attitude when the great flood came?
That they was drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage.
Life was just going on as usual.
Just not caring yeah. about Jesus or God at all. So.
And here's this crazy man, Noah,
yeah,
building a giant boat, telling them that it was going to rain, and many believe it had not rained up to this point in history.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Noah's telling them it's going to rain and it's going to flood, and you need to get right with God. I'm building a boat according to God's instructions. But there were those who scoffed. In fact, everybody scoffed. There's not going to be a flood. Noah, you're crazy.
I can just imagine.
But life will go on as it always has. In the words of Jesus, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away.
Yeah.
And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In the same way scoffers There were scoffers in Noah's day. There were scoffers in our day that make fun of Christians and doubt what God's word says, who point out, well, life is just going on as it always has.
Yep.
But Peter says, just as at the time of the flood, God will interrupt history.
Yes.
When Christ returns. Mm. Look at his point in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the wicked, mm-hmm. the ungodly. Mm-hmm. So here's what Peter's saying. There's judgment coming for
judgment
the wicked.
Judgment coming, yeah.
God will not let sin go unpunished forever. The God who created the universe and the beginning of all things has the power to end them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if God intervened in the normal flow of life before, he can do it again.
That's right.
And he will.
Amen.
Only this time, instead of water,
it's going to be far.
It's going to be far.
It'll be far.
And the big question is not, is he coming, nor is it, when is he coming? But the question is, will we be ready?
That's a very good question.
When he comes.
Very good question.
Have we made our preparation for his coming?
That's right. Right.
Have we made our reservation?
That's right.
Are we living as he wants us to live?
That's right.
Well, Peter continues his argument against the scoffers, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
So Peter's point in verse 8 is that God has a whole different perspective of time than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Peter may have had Psalm 90 verse 4 in mind, where we read that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years.
Yes, right.
And 1,000 years as one day.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Swindoll makes us think with these words, the Lord is not slow, or as you said, slack.
Yes.
The Lord is not slow, he is patient. Mm-hmm. The Lord is not tardy, he is deliberately waiting. Yeah. The Lord is not indifferent, he is merciful. He is holding back the events of the end to give as many people as possible the opportunity to believe in his Son. And he reminds us of what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So Chuck Swindoll continues, just imagine, what if the Lord had ended all things just moments before you believed? We would be lost.
Be lost. That's right.
Or to make it personal in another way, think of some people you know who are not Christians.
Yeah.
And put their names in the place of the words of you, anyone, and everyone in 2 Peter 3:9. So it would read this way. Instead, he is patient with Brian.
Yep.
Joe.
Yep.
Not wanting Brian or Joe to perish.
That's true.
But Brian and Joe to come to repentance, mm-hmm. or put the name of someone that you love that you're praying for,
mm-hmm.
And realize that God is not only waiting patiently for that person and all other non-Christians to believe in him, he's also waiting for us to share the good news of salvation.
Amen.
So that they can believe in him. So, and when you think about it that way, God's apparent delay is not caused by his inability to make up his mind about when Jesus will return.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wishy-washy.
Oh, no.
He's got a day circled on God's calendar.
Yes, he does.
But the apparent delay from our perspective is because of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is long-suffering and compassionate.
Yes. Yes.
He wants to give more folks an opportunity to be saved. But make no mistake, the end of this world as we know it is coming. It's inevitable, according to verse 10 of 2 Peter 3.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up.
Now, where did Peter learn that? Well, He learned it from the words you read a moment ago from Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into.
Mm-hmm.
So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Yes.
Now, what does that analogy mean, that Jesus will come like a thief?
I mean, he's
thief
gonna,
in the night.
He's going to come and you're not going to know it.
A thief does not tell you when he is coming.
No, he's not going to announce, hey, I'm going to break into your house tonight. I'm going to steal everything you got.
That would be a very bold thief.
Be a very bold thief.
And if they made an appointment to come to your house and steal your stuff,
yeah,
you'd be sitting there with a loaded handgun at that hour to
That's
stop
right.
them.
That's right. Or the popo would be there on standby.
Yeah. The police.
The police, I mean. I'm sorry.
But you make preparations for that thief.
Yeah.
I can remember a day. I'm old enough to remember a day when we didn't have to lock our doors when I was growing up out in the country.
And, you know, there's still people today that don't lock their doors. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just something I do every time I walk in the door. I lock the door for some reason.
Yes.
You know.
And before we go to bed at night.
Absolutely.
That's part of my routine. I make sure that the doors are locked. You might have a security system in place. Maybe surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
You keep some lights on outside.
Maybe you got a guard cat.
Well, that
like Biscuit.
We do. Yeah. Some people have a watch dog.
That's it.
And we have a watch cat.
There you go. Just had to throw that in. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But you keep lights on outside, maybe even motion activated.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the same way, as we prepare for the arrival of a thief, we should be ready for the return of our Savior. Not that he's going to steal our stuff.
Mm-mm.
But when he returns, life as we know it will be over.
That's right.
Peter's words, the heavens will disappear with a roar and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. God's final judgment will be total and complete. Now, commentators differed on whether it'll come as a result of being initiated by God or whether he might incorporate some of the present nuclear capabilities of nations to make everything go up in one big explosion.
Mm.
But remember, it's God who made the atom.
That's right. That's right.
But one thing is certain, however it will happen, it'll be in God's timing.
That's right.
When he says so. So when we come back after Johnny Erickson Tada sharing hope, and certainly our hope is in the return of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But after Johnny shares some words of hope, we'll hear a song, and we'll look at some suggestions, commands that Peter gives us, how we are to wait and expect the day of the Lord.
Today, you're going to be blessed by one of Johnny's favorite Puritan prayers.
It's from the Valley of Vision, a collection of prayers by the Puritans. And I've said it so often, I almost know it by heart. It goes like this. It says, "Oh Lord, give me a deeper repentance. Give me a horror of sin, a dread of its approach. Help me to flee from it, and jealously to resolve that my heart shall be inclined to Thee alone. Give me a deeper trust that I might lose myself, to find myself in Thee. The ground of my rest, the spring of my being, give me a deeper knowledge of thyself as Savior, as Master, Lord, and King. Give me a deeper power in private prayer, more sweetness in thy word, more steadfast grip on its truth. Give me deeper holiness in speech and thought and action. Plow deep in me, great Lord, heavenly husbandman, that I may be a tilled field, the roots of grace spreading far and wide, until thou alone art seen in me, thy beauty golden like summer harvest, thy fruitfulness as autumn plenty. I am nothing but that thou makest me. I have nothing but that I receive from thee. I can be nothing but that grace adorns me. So quarry me deep, dear Lord, and then fill me to overflowing with living waters." I think you can probably see why I love that prayer. And the Valley of Vision is filled with prayers like these. It's really worth memorizing. The kind of prayer to offer up when, well, when you find your thoughts wandering, or you want fresh words to say to the Lord in worship, say these words, "Plow deep in me, great Lord." That's a risky prayer, because we're asking God to help us go deeper with Him, to ask for deeper knowledge of our Savior, or a deeper holiness, or a deeper power in prayer. All that is to ask God to take His plow, the sharp cutting edge of His hard will, and run our lives through, furrow us, unearth parts of us that need to be tilled, places in our soul that have been face down and too long in the dark. Turn those places upside down, upright to the sunshine of God's love and the showers of His mercy. Plow deep in me, Lord. It's a risky prayer, because it is an invitation into the school of suffering. It's as 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "To this we were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." Look, friend, no one goes to Christ's heaven unless they first take up their cross daily and follow in His steps. God shares His joy on His terms, and those terms call for us to, in some measure, suffer as He did. Maybe not to the degree He did, but certainly to the manner with which Jesus approached His cross. But oh, the amazing intimacy and sweetness of knowing Jesus through your suffering, the sweet satisfaction and pleasure of knowing the Man of Sorrows on that level. Wow. Believe me, the suffering is worth it. That's coming from the lady in the wheelchair who's battled cancer and who deals with chronic pain. You will not regret being given a seat in the school of suffering. So join me in asking God to plow you deep, quarry you deep. Oh Lord, till my soul and turn its soil upright to the Son of God. Help me to grow as I've never grown before. And it all starts with that simple prayer from the Valley of Vision.
Oh, and one more thing. I want to send you a copy of our Johnny and Friends newsletter. So just go to johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in James 1, 14 and 15, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." Bruce Wilkinson, author of Prayer of Jabez, said, "Sexual immorality is a threshold sin. On one side of the threshold is immorality, and on the other is purity. On one side are guilt, lying, deceit, addiction, and shame, and on the other side are freedom, honesty, transparency, liberty, and a clear conscience. Believers who are in bondage to immorality find that unless they experience victory in this area, they cannot grow in holiness or serve the Lord with passion and power." Words of truth. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Matthew West with Looking Up right here on Missionary Radio, and this is The Front Porch.
Well, we are to look up for our Redeemer's returning.
Yes.
What are we to do while we wait and expect the day of the Lord, His return? Well, Peter has some suggestions. Make that some commands. 2 Peter chapter 3, 11 through 14.
"Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless."
To put it simply, Peter gives three instructions here. He says to clean up, look up, and speak up.
There you go.
Let's look at each one. Clean up. In verse 11, we are to live holy and godly lives, for Jesus is coming soon. And from verse 14, we are to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefulness should produce holiness, as someone said. When Jesus returns, he longs to see himself in us.
That's right.
So we need to clean up. We also need to look up. We are to anticipate the day of Christ's return.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians 16:22, in some translations, they use the word Maranatha, meaning, even so come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
At one time in Christian music, there was a music label called Maranatha.
Okay.
Maranatha Music.
All right.
And so that's our attitude to be. We're to look up and say, even so come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Come today. We can look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a place without the after effects and the presence of sin. We can look forward to a place where there's no more sickness.
Yes.
No more pain.
Yes.
No more parting over there.
Mm-hmm.
And forever I will be with the one who died for me.
Amen. That's a good song.
I lost the last line. What a day that will be.
Yeah.
And there's no more death, no more. Think about whatever your biggest challenge is right now.
There'll be no more.
It'll be no more.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 21:3-4 assures us, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them.
Mm-hmm.
They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And I love verse 4 of Revelation 21. He will wipe every tear from their eyes.
Yes.
There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We experience those things. It's the old order.
That's right.
But it's all going to be different
when
Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
So we clean up, we look up, and we speak up. Peter speaks of being able to speed the day of the coming of the day of God in verse 12. In some mysterious way, getting the message of the gospel out to the millions, to those who have never heard of the saving name of Jesus, it might actually make the return of Christ happen sooner.
Yeah.
And throughout history, that idea has spurred on missionary efforts around the world. It's the idea behind our partners, Transworld Radio.
Absolutely.
Get the message of Christ out, even where places where missionaries cannot go, to get the gospel in.
That's right.
Into the hearts and minds of the people so that more and more people will hear the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In verses 15 and 16 of 2 Peter 3, Peter reminds us what he's writing about the return of Christ. It agrees with what his brother Paul was writing.
And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures.
So again, Peter reminds us that the seeming delay in Christ's return was because of the Lord's patience, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
He wants everyone to have an opportunity to be saved.
Yes.
I thought it was interesting that Peter acknowledged the wisdom that God had given to Paul, and he also acknowledged that some of what Paul wrote was hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
To quote an old expression, Peter's writings have been challenging as well. But Paul's letters had been misunderstood and distorted also. And that's what happens when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what God's word is saying.
That's right.
We have to be careful lest we make God's word say things that we want it to say.
Mm-hmm.
When we come to the word of God with our own agenda, we can get into big trouble.
Absolutely.
One last time in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Peter warns his readers of folks who twist God's word, who teach falsehood, or who outright scoff at the doctrine of the return of Christ.
You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.
So what is Peter saying about those folks he describes as lawless and in error? Well, he's saying, it seems, be on the alert.
Mm-hmm.
Keep discerning and keep filtering what you hear. And what is our filter? Our filter is the Word of God.
That's right.
The Holman Commentary paraphrased Paul's advice, don't fall for them. You know that they are among you. And now it is your responsibility to watch and to guard yourself against their lies. You've been adequately warned and prepared, so there's no reason to be swept off your feet by them. You've been firmly grounded in the Scripture. And Peter says, now stay there. In fact, verse 18 tells us, don't just stay there. Keep on growing in God's grace and in your knowledge of Him.
Mm-hmm.
The best defense against folks who don't believe Jesus is coming again is to be in God's Word and to be growing. And when I read verse 18 that says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I flashed back to an old radio show my mother had always listened to. She was a listener to Christian radio and probably influenced me to be where I'm at today because of that. It's funny how God used that.
That's right, that's right.
But it was called Song Time. The teacher, a man named John DeBrine, who just passed away, I found out in 2021 at the age of 96, he always signed off with these words, and we're going to sign off, go into a song with these words today, but he would say, grow in grace so you won't groan in disgrace. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace so you won't groan in disgrace.
Amen.